If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
The music of Ukraine, something Joseph Lindsley sent us from, I'm not sure where you are today, Joe. Hi, can you tell us?
Yeah, but what, to the extent I know where I am, good afternoon from, I'm in a small village in the region called Bessarabia, and I feel like I traveled back into summertime here. It's really one of the southernmost parts of Ukraine. Between the Black Sea and Romania and Moldova, and this is it's a warm, sunny day in this sort of dusty village that's known for its grapes. This is a great wine-producing region, and where do I start? I've had quite the adventure the past 24 hours. You know, yesterday I spoke with you from the city of Odessa, and then we hit the road to travel south here to Bessarabia, and. By the way, Odessa, the Russians hit Odessa last night. They attacked the city, and it was a yacht club. Fortunately, no one was there at nighttime. But I unexpectedly, you know, yesterday was the 600th day of Russia's war on Ukraine, and I have been here every single minute of Russia's war on this country. I haven't left once. Yesterday, I left Ukraine. Unexpectedly. I didn't plan on it. Because this is a narrow sort of a spit of land between sort of the main part of Bessarabia, this very fertile country, and you have the Black Sea, but you have the delta of the Danube River. And you know, I lived in New Orleans. It feels a little bit like the Mississippi Delta. It looks like it a little bit. And incredible bird life, and really it's an abundant place. But because of the swamps, in order to access the most southern part of Ukraine here, you need to, the highway goes through Moldova. And so you temporarily leave Ukraine. There was a border point, and then you're in this strange no man's land. It's a highway that, it's Moldovan territory, but it's for Ukrainians to transit, to Bessarabia. And our driver, is Ukrainian, and, Ukrainian men have to have special permission to leave the country. You know, they don't want people, you know, you can cross the border and then sort of take off into the swamps of Moldova. And so we had a bit of an adventure trying to get the permission to cross. And you know, I hadn't planned on it. So it was sort of, I've had dreams that I've left Ukraine. So it actually happened yesterday for about 20 minutes driving on this road in the total darkness. So, I couldn't even tell what was around us into the country of Moldova. There was some movie called Red with Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren, where they ended up in Moldova in the end of the movie. And there was a war there. And I never would have thought that anything in my life would be similar to that. And then anyway, I woke up in the morning in this town called Ishmael, which is a Turkish name. And it's on the Danube River. And so that song we were just listening to, in translation, it means in the forest grove near the Danube River. Oduhayu Predunayu. And it's a very beloved Ukrainian song. When I'm in cafes in Lviv, I hear people singing that. I know Americans who love to sing that song. And so this morning I was there on the banks of the Danube River, and I could see across the water, not so far, Romania. And, you know, it's always a jarring thing to see, you know, simply across the water, there is a land at peace. You know, not so far, you could swim across there. And on the, you know, here is war and there is peace. And as we were driving and as I'm sitting on the banks of the river, and there's a nice cafe and a beach, you see the huge cargo ships sailing, you know, to and from, or going to and from up the Danube River. And because of the Russians, what they've done to the Ukrainian ports in Odessa, and because they've, you know, taken over Ukrainians' coastline in the Sea of Azov, Ukrainians have had to sort of hug the coast here to get grain and other goods out of the country and to bring things into the country. And so it's an inspiring sight as we're traveling through the night, you know, to see all the trucks moving, you know, part of this victory effort, and then to see the ships going up the Danube. And you can't take photos there because it's a very sensitive place. The Russians have frequently attacked Ishmael. In fact, I mean, we had reports of incoming drones yesterday And so it's sort of a sleepless night, but it was calm last night. But mere blocks from me, well, I woke up to see the scenes of destruction from recent Russian attacks. Hmm. Nevertheless, Ukrainians continuing to keep going. Even on the Romanian side, Russian drones debris from Russian drones have fallen. So there is a risk to people there. And so, you know, it had this very beautiful spot. But they've been through the hell of war. But also this is a major part of the victory effort. And so it's encouraging. You know, in the late 1700s, there was a major battle between the Turks and the Russians that was fought in that town of Izmail.
Joseph, I want to ask you a couple of questions about Israel today. With your experience in so many countries and your extensive knowledge of world politics, as you know, Putin is meeting with the Chinese President Xi, and it's been reported, of course, that this Israel conflict could be a boon for Russia with the U.S. distracted. But talk a little bit about Russia, China, and Iran, and what's going on in Israel, and what do you think Putin and Xi will be talking about today regarding the Israel war?
Bob, sorry, I lost you.
Oh, okay. I was just saying you're the guy who can maybe have a little perspective for us on Iran, Russia, China, and what's going on in Israel.
Yeah, well, and this is why, I don't know if you heard that I was saying that I was trying to read this morning in the Ukrainian language a book by Boris Johnson about Winston Churchill and his leadership in the 1930s. I bought this book in a gas station in Ukraine yesterday, but I really think we need to go back to that history, as I've said before, of the 1930s to see the moment that we're in now. There's a bit of dismay here that Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, spoke with Putin. And it seems that he turned down a visit from President Zelensky. You know, so where the Israelis and the Ukrainians, the people themselves, stand together, we still see, it's just surprising to see leadership of Israel wanting to work with the Russians. You know, when you see even how the Russians have hurt the Ukrainian Jewish community. And so I think this is a time, people need to go back and read their history. You know, and even, I mean, I felt like a little bit of a vacation today in this beautiful, sunshiny place. But and so I took that time to study a bit. But really, I think we're quickly approaching an era of a new type of madness. And at the same time, because of Ukraine, as I said yesterday, because of Ukraine's work in the Black Sea to hit Russian ships, more and more it seems that they have really crippled Russia's ability to make attacks on Ukraine like they did 1 year ago. And we really have to ask the question, if Hamas had not invaded Israel, what would the headlines be right now? And this is extraordinary to consider. If the headlines were not about Israel and Hamas, right now they would have to say, why is Russia unable to attack Ukraine in a big way? And I think it's very easy to miss that storyline, but Russia is not doing anything major right now. And if the situation in Israel did not happen, I think we would have very, very positive headlines right now about what Ukraine has been able to do to the Russian naval fleet.
But it's scary to think of the alliance between Russia, Iran, and China, and of course Iran's connection with Hezbollah, and Russia does not acknowledge that Hamas is a terrorist organization, do they?
No, they haven't. And so that's why it's astounding that the prime minister of Israel would even speak to Putin. And as President Zelensky said, you know, Israel and Ukraine are one of our common enemies is Iran. I mean, I saw when I woke up this morning, that destruction that I saw on the port and the destruction that happened in Romania, too, is because of Iran's drones, the suicide Shahid drones provided by Iran to Russia. So it's very plain to see. You see it very clearly here. And by the way, China has also for a long time wanted to control these key supply routes through their new Silk Road Initiative or the Belt and Road Initiative. They've wanted these routes in this place. And so behind the scenes, that's exactly who's maneuvering to take control of the free people here of Ukraine and beyond.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Safe travels, Joe. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow. Sorry for the connection problem.
No problem at all. Thank you very much.